Good morning.
Good morning.
And to you, those out there in video land, the preceding song was sung by my cousin David Fogel, and we hope you enjoy it. But we're glad to have you here this morning, and while I've got your captivated attention, I have a few announcements that we've previously shared. If you're in the area, and by area I mean if you're within 1,000 miles of the church. I got to reach out there. Friday night here at 6 p.m., we're going to have a Good Friday service. So if you're in the area, come on out. And if, again, you're in the area, on Sunday morning, we will be doing a sunrise service like we did last year, recording it at my house in the field down in the driveway. And if you're in the area and you need to get your sunrise fix, please come out and join us at 6:20 a.m., we're there in about. Details on that to follow when I figure out exactly what time the sun is supposed to come up. And so welcome in this morning. We're glad to have you. Our scripture lesson today for the sermon titled Straight Line comes from Luke chapter 19, starting in the 28th verse. While you're looking that up, it was hot that summer. It was hot on that Sunday afternoon, and this was going to be Baptism Sunday. And everybody in the little village, the little town, was going down to the water's edge to watch the only church in town do the baptizing. And the town scoundrel was watching all the commotion. He was always kind of a bad fella, getting himself in trouble all the time and couldn't be settled down. And suddenly, he was standing on a little bit of a rock ledge watching all the commotion, and the preacher was watching him at the corner of his eye. And about that time, the town scoundrel slipped and fell down on the side of the bank. The preacher ran over and grabbed him and saw this as an opportunity. Walked him down in the water without warning, plunged him down under the water, pulled him back up, sputtering and carrying on, and said, "Do you see Jesus?" And he said, "No." And he punched him back down again and held him there, and he brought him back up, sputtering and carrying on. He says, "Do you see Jesus now?" He said, "No." And he shoved him back down again, and he held him, and he pulled him up, and he shook him, and he said, "Now do you see Jesus?" And the town scoundrel looked at him and said, "No. Are you sure this is where he fell in?" Sorry, Martha. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are untying it, tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they have seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." May the Lord add His blessings to this as we seek Him in prayer. Hold us up, Father. Stop the thoughts of what's coming later on today. And let us dwell right here. Let these words that are from me be yours truly. Just let me amplify a little bit. Let us hear them a little clearer. Let us dwell a little closer. Let us ponder the meaning of this day. Let us be prepared, Father. We ask that in Jesus' name. And all of His children said, Amen. In 206 B.C., the Han Dynasty was founded in China. The Han Dynasty. Oddly enough, it was founded by a peasant, by a simple man who had a simple thought and became a rebel leader. His name at that time was Li Bang, but he was posthumously known as Emperor Gaozu of Han. This was the second imperial dynasty of China. And in 193 BC, while leading another rebellion to protect his dynasty, he was struck by a stray arrow during the fight. And he would suffer for the next 2 months before passing on. One of the people, when he was telling them how to get where they needed to go, said, Emperor, how do we get there? I mean, sure, we know where it's at. But the hills and the forest are dense. And after consulting, his response was, seek out the lodestone. Seek out the lodestone. Now look, if I came to you asking for directions, my father was famous for this. When I was growing up, I'd be working on something in the shop, car, tractor, truck, motorcycle, whatever it was, gas engine. And I'd walk in the house, but couldn't figure something out. Dad, could you come out here and show me what to do? Yeah. And he always did the same thing. He threw a book at me. Not what you think to try to hit me. He said, it's in there. Go to the book. And the emperor said, go to the lodestone. And from going to the lodestone came forth what is now known as the magnet meter. Of course, we call them the compass. How do you get there? The compass were made from lodestone, a naturally magnetized ore. They were used for navigation during the Song Dynasty of the 11th century. Later compasses had needles beat out of iron made into them, and they were magnetized by striking them against the lodestone. Dry compasses began to appear in the 1300s in medieval Europe and the Islamic world, and in the 20th century, the United States came forth with the liquid-filled compass. Anybody in here ever had to use a compass? Huh? Do you still know how to use it? Be honest, this is church. Notice my hand didn't go up. You can get them things in any way you want. You can even get them now where if you've got one of these smartphones, right, you can just take your old smartphone and type on that compass and look. I know exactly where I'm at. North is... North is that way. See, it says so. See, and you can go anywhere you want with this thing. You can wander around and you know how to get there. Even when you cannot see the way. What's that oldest saying? The shortest distance between two points is what?
Straight line.
Straight line. Right? Is it always a straight line?
No.
Yes, it is. Is it always easy to get between those two points? No. But we still try. Look, we've got ways to make sure that everything is nice and straight. See, we have levels. Got my favorite level right here. Got the centers, got the top. You hold it up, you get that thing between two lines, you get a nice, pretty straight line. You know what this old saying is, right? That old boy is about a half a bubble off plumb. Wally, come here a minute. take the dumb end now. Stop. Don't go any further. Can't go beyond the little weight sticker. Now, we're going to measure out here to a distance of 7 feet. Between you and me, it's 7 feet. Now, walk to your right.
My right?
Yeah, your right.
This is my right.
Now, in order to make it better, we are now at 7'4". Now, walk all the way to your left.
My left?
Keep going. Whoa. From the same point, we're now at 8.5 feet. Go back to the center. To the center. Come back to that center. There you go. And now we're at 7 feet again. Do you understand? Thank you, Wally. Everybody give him a big round of applause. You understand that the only way between two points, the straight and truest line, is straight. Straight. There's no deviation. There's no back and forth. There's no, well, let's go over here, let's go over here, let's go over here. It's a straight line. If you want to go to a straight point, you go that way. But people confuse the shortest distance between two points as easy. From here to the back of the vestibule is a straight line. And on Sunday morning when the service is finished, if I want to walk that straight line, you guys are so loving and so wonderful with each other, you fill the aisle way up. And I have to walk through them. I go, excuse me, how you doing? Good to go. Hey, I done walked a country mile from here to the back of the church just to get there. It's not easy, but I got there. Going on the straight line, I promise you, is never, ever, ever, ever going to be easy. Ever. Daniel Paul Rader was an evangelist. He was a super influential evangelist. In the early 20th century, he was America's first nationwide radio preacher. He was the first one. He was a renowned missionary for the Moody Church. He led the church. He had held revivals. He even bought 367 acres to build summer cottages and a tabernacle and a radio transmitting station because he thought that's where God was leading him. And after it failed to materialize, he sold it. One of the things I found out in researching him, and I love this because, let's face it, I am still a big Elvis fan. Rader wrote hymns during his career, one of which was Only Believe. It was Elvis's personal favorite. Recorded a song in 1970 for his album Love Letters from Elvis, and it was released as a single in 1971. It went on the chart. Only Believe was the theme song of William Branham's campaigns, as well as a favorite of Smith Wigglesworth. He wrote books. He did all this stuff. And yet he was friends with a banker in New York who had nothing to do with the gospel. Nothing. Friends. And Paul would talk to him, and the banker would turn him away and always tell him these things. I'm too busy for religion. I don't have time for that. There's too many things that get in the way of being a Christian. And time passed. And along this straight and arduous journey trying to get him to know Jesus Christ, he was constantly turned back. One day, the banker wound up in a sanatorium for rest because he had overworked and stressed himself to a bad point. Paul was sitting in his front drawing room when a message, go talk to the banker now. Go talk to him right now. In order to get there, he had to take a cab, a bus, a train, a cab, a bus to get to this thing. Arriving at the facility, he saw the banker standing in the doorway. Oh, Rader, said the banker, I am so glad to see you. I received your telegram, said Rader. That's impossible, said the banker. I wrote a telegram begging you to come, but I tore it up and didn't send it. And Paul Rader said, that may be, but your message came to me by the way of heaven. He found his friend under deep conviction, and they began to pray, and sing hymns, and they sat together and they spent this time, and he pointed out that Christ was a perfect Savior, and the man accepted Christ, and finally his countenance changed. His heart was filled with joy. Rader, he said, did you ever see the sky so blue or the grass so green? Rader replied, sometimes we sing, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. And the banker smiled and leaned against Rader and passed away. But he was able to get that straight line. A mountain of things got in the way. How many times do we let things get in our way of doing what we need to do? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
That means you all too. Tired of this. When I talk, I know you all on the other side of the camera need to say amen. We let stuff get in our way. Oh, I'm going to go do this. Oh, I'm going to do that. Well, I do know how to go on Facebook. And as many of you know, I am one for putting things on Facebook that need to be on there, the proper stuff, like how to cook steak, working on tractor, steam engines, trains, trucks, motorcycles like that, talking about the church. And on Facebook, all the time, somebody puts out this little saying, make sure you spend time with them now because you won't be able to call them in heaven. Don't let the little things get in the way. Boy, if that were only listened to, that straight line would never be hard. I'm in the process of having my property surveyed. Now, when I say I'm in the process of having my property surveyed, I don't want to pay a surveyor because I think I can figure it out. After all, I got my compass. Just don't know how to use that thing yet. But I want to know where my property corners are because the markers are missing. Now, my property has four squares. Bing, 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 bing. Right? And I know where one corner is, and I know where another corner is. But trying to find them other corners is a straight line that goes like this, down through the bushes and hills. You can't stand in one place and see the other marker. But I know it's a straight line. And I know that as I am working to cut a path to that marker, it'll be all worth it. It ain't fun, and it ain't easy. And my wife, whom I love, constantly says this to me, why don't you just pay someone to come out and do it? Because I don't want it. Because I can do it. Because I'm a man. No, I'm just hard-headed is all I am. But that's what it is. We seem to forget that we are on a straight line. Regardless of everything that's being thrown at us. This COVID, ailments, body aches. You know, everybody wants to be a leader, it seems like. Everybody wants to tell you how to do something. Everybody wants to tell you how easy it is to go from point A to point B. And yet they forget that that's not how it works. We are not called to be those leaders. We are called to be followers with a message. In his book, None of These Diseases, S.I. McMillan wrote the story of a young woman who wanted to go to a very fancy college, but her heart sank when she read the application. There was a question on there that says, are you a leader? And being both honest and conscientious, she wrote, no. And she returned the application. Expecting the worst from this very prestigious college, to her surprise came a letter. Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year's college will have 1,452 brand new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower. We all want to be a leader, but that's not our call. Our call is to walk the straight line and show others. We have a leader. His name was Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ traversed that straight line. Period. Martin Luther once read an account during his family devotions of how Abraham offered Isaac on the altar in Genesis 22. And his wife Katie says, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. I don't believe that God would have treated his son like that. And Martin Luther took off his glasses and wiped his eyes and said, but Katie, he did. Our Father allowed his son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Think about it this way. Let's think about it how I'm thinking about it today. He took Jesus to the edge of the realm of heaven and pointed. He said, you're going to start here. And you're going to end up there at that tomb. And you're not going to deviate. And Jesus Christ looked at his Father and said, I know. I'm ready to go. And did it. I think in my mind that's something that gets lost on this day. Let's go back into Scripture for a moment. Verse 42. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That is a warning. It's not just a lament. It's a warning. Yes, Jesus is crying. As he looks out on Jerusalem, knowing what he knows, he is crying, but he is offering us up a warning today. I tell you, you may be joyful, you may be triumphant, you may think you have everything in your place, but without me, without this salvation, without any of it, you will be destroyed. And that's the part that I felt that we miss on Palm Sunday. Now, we see Palm Sunday as a triumph, a great and glorious and grand day, and it is. Don't get me wrong, it's a parade. I've participated in a few parades, and all parades come at a cost. Blisters, right, from walking. Your arms get heavy, especially if you're the tuba player. You just quit playing notes after a while and figure somebody else will pick it up. I never marched in a marching band, but I did play the tuba, and I know what it would mean. I know that it seemed like every single parade I have ever participated in was either one of two things. Cold beyond cold beyond cold, or hotter than it could ever be able to imagine, as if I was sitting in a skillet. And of all those dumb things back in them days of parades, I would climb on my 300-degree steam engine and ride through town like this. Woo, yeah, woo, woo, blowing whistles, shoveling coal, sweating, until when we got back to where I was, I would open up a quart of water and drink it straight down. Oh, man, it was so hot. Oh, good golly, it was so hot. Hey, you want to do a parade tomorrow? Yeah, let's do that. Never said I was smart. Don't get that mixed up. And it is a grand, glorious, beautiful day for us to read. I love the whole story of him coming into Jerusalem. Some people call it the triumphant entry. Don't know that they get it. But the greatest part of the story is how the point A to point B straight line plan worked. Go back in that scripture. Verse 30, Jesus said, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. For those of you who don't understand what a colt is, that's an unbroken donkey. Brand new. No one has sat on its back. There's a couple of us in here that know what it means to break a horse or a mule or a donkey. It is a fun time, isn't it? It's just a joyous occasion getting them used to a saddle or the reins or the yoke. It's just fun, isn't it? If anyone asks you why you're untying it, tell them the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owners asked, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." That scene. Imagine, if you will, you go out to the driveway and somebody is there hot wiring your car. Because obviously you didn't leave them the keys, did you? "Hey, what are you doing?" "The Lord needs your pickup truck." "For what?" "He needs it." "Well, I don't think he needs it that bad. Would you let him go away with your pickup truck?" "No, you certainly would not." And yet a brand new prized possession colt goes out into the wilderness. And the owner goes, "Oh, okay, no problem." Then they take this animal to Jesus. They put a coat on his back because Jesus cannot touch the animal. He's too precious. And he gets on its back. And the little colt looks around and goes, "Okay, let's walk." That's not how it happens in real life. You get on its back, then you're sitting over here in the dirt. You understand me? All of this was a plan. All of this was to express to people, "I am who I have said I am." And yet we read on. "Don't cheer for him. Stop it." And Jesus says, "Either let him do it or the rocks are going to cry out." People didn't even want the colt. Didn't even want it to touch the ground. They put down palm branches and coats. And they cheered because this was who they thought was the Messiah. And they were right, but they didn't think of it correctly. Which is why you get the verse, "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it." As he approaches us as his own Jerusalem, he weeps over those of us who don't believe in him. Palm Sunday is a triumphal entry into a warning, into murder, into resurrection, into our salvation. And I got news for you. It's a straight line. It will never, ever be easy to walk. There's a story about a widely respected man known as Uncle Johnson. He died in Michigan at the incredible age of 120 years old. His advanced years, they said, could be credited in part due to his cheerful outlook that characterized his life. One day, while at work in the garden, he was singing songs of praise to God. Ain't that a cool thought? I do that. Of course, I sing about the same four ones all the time. But his pastor was walking by, looked over the fence and called out, "Uncle Johnson, you sure do seem happy today." He said, "Yes, sir, I am." "I was thinking," said the old man. "Thinking on what?" his pastor asked. "Oh, I was just thinking about how hard this travel is, about how hard it is to walk this way. But I got to thinking, if the crumbs of joy that fall from the master's table into this world and give us these little bits of joy are so good, what will the life be like when we get there? I tell you what, sir, there'll be enough for everyone to spend, everyone to have, and some up there to spare when I get to the end of this line." Uncle Johnson, walking that straight line. We all are. We're walking that straight line that ends because of a triumphal entry into a warning, into a death, into a resurrection, into a salvation. The line that we walk, brothers and sisters, is hard. And we will deviate from it. We are human. We have not been transformed. We are not righteous. But because of our Savior Jesus Christ, he will keep us walking that straight line until that day we hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." welcome home. Brothers and sisters, take courage when we walk this straight line. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the love, the joy, the strength, the power, the passion, the trials, the tribulations, the everything that Jesus Christ suffered on our behalf. Pray that we walk that straight line continually, seeking you for guidance, him for strength, the Holy Spirit for lifting. Watch over and keep us, Father. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We love him so much. In his name we pray. Amen. If you have a particular need, the bench is open. Call me if you need me from home. Reach out to those that you know Jesus Christ and get back on that straight line. And may he have blessings upon you this week and in the weeks to come. Thank you.